It seems like it's been forever since we've been down this way. But how many of you know, you stay busy, you stay busy, you stay busy, and the busier you get, then the more busier you get. Can you say amen? And a lot of changes has taken place in our lives, and some of you are aware of the fact that my wife Gloria has leukemia, plus the regular cancer that was in her body to start with. I told her this is the fifth time. Look like after a while, we won all four times. Look like after a while, the devil just give up, don't he?
That's right.
Yeah, well, he won't, but today she had to have a blood transfusion, so we were running late, getting going, but I'm glad I'm here tonight. Amen. The Lord spoke to my heart and about it, and even laid the sermon on my heart. I contacted Brother Scotty, and then I began to look at, wasn't sure how things was going to turn out with her. How many of you know that God puts you in uncertainty sometimes? To let you know that he's still God, you're not.
Amen.
Amen. A lot of things in your life you can control until you get to thinking, I've got it under control, I've got it going. You know, and we're made in the image and likeness of God. We have the right to rulership in our lives. We have the right as to go or come, and this is our right. But when you're born again, how many of you know you're looking for the will of God in your life? Then you're going to have to go and do what he wants you to do, not what you want to do.
That's right.
And I see a lot of folks right now that is doing that very thing. They're doing what they want to do, and they're serving God their way. All right, let's turn tonight to the book of Exodus, if you would please, chapter 33. We're going to deal with verses 1 through 11. The book of Exodus, chapter 1, chapter 33, verse 1. And the Lord said, King James Version, unto Moses, depart and go up thence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt into the land which I sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying unto thy seed, I will give it thee. Now I thought it was very amusing here that the Lord said, Moses brought them out. Amen. But we know that Moses was guided by the Holy Spirit, so he's just the hand of God bringing the people forth. How many of you know that you are the hand of God into any situation you walk in, every breath you breathe, every day you are, wherever you are the possible miracle for somebody. You're a possible move of God for somebody. But so often we get caught up in our own ways that we don't even bother to let folks know who we believe in and what we're doing. Amen? It goes on here, it says, and I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, Amorite, Havirite, Habat, or Hittite, Pezerite, and Havite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. And when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned, and no man did put on his ornaments. For the Lord had said to them, Moses, say unto the children of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people. I will come up into the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that every one which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. And it came to pass, when Moses went out unto the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood, every man at his tent door, and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up to worship, every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend, and he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the touch of your spirit that we sensed and felt in the house tonight, but asking you for a greater manifestation of your presence than we've had thus far. Asking you once again to hide me behind the cross of Calvary, that though looking would see your son Jesus, he being high and lifted up, that he would draw all men unto himself. Confirm your word tonight with signs and wonders. We'll give you the praise, the glory, the honor for it all. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. Verse 7. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off of the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that every one which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. I want to talk to you for a few minutes tonight on the subject, leaving the land of stiff neck. Leaving the land of stiff neck. Now, when you look in Exodus 13, 21, it indicates here that God led this people with a cloud. I mean, the angel went before them. When the angel stopped, they stopped. When it went forward, they went forward. How many of you remember in your own lives when you first got saved? Amen? How first received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I mean, somebody could holler, Jesus, you'd shout for 3 days. Can you say amen? How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Amen? And then all of a sudden, the life takes its turns and twists. And now you come in, we have to sing to you 30 minutes before we ever get your hand up there and say, praise the Lord, every once in a while. Amen? And how many of you have also found out that when you first got saved, you could not get enough Bible reading in? Amen? Because your spirit is in the image and the likeness of God at that time, and it just craves the Word of God and to know about God. But then as time goes by, has anybody in here experienced the power of the television set before? Amen? And the next thing you know, the yard's got to be cut and what have you. And you can find 1,500 reasons not to read the Bible. Now, of course, what happens at that time is that you get weak in your spirit. And all of a sudden, you find then that you're wanting somebody to pray for you. When you go to church, you don't feel the Lord like you did. When you go to pray, you don't feel the Lord like you did. So you call Brother Scotty, pray for me, pray for me. It don't matter if it's 3 a.m., pray for me, brother. Hello, amen. And so as a result of it, you find yourself searching for answers, and you have the answer within yourself. If you just stop and think about it. Now, I know somebody said, well, I do my Bible reading every day. I don't doubt that, amen. But I used to complain about having to read 11 verses in front of my sermon to the Lord. And one night the Lord spoke to me. I said, Lord, that's a lot of Bible there. I could just use that one verse and take off. And he spoke to me and he said, son, so that's more Bible reading than most of them get in a month, amen. And so that happens sometimes, amen. Now, what I want to look at tonight is there comes a point in your life where nobody can pray you out of it, and you can't praise your way out of it. How many of you found out that he has the keys to the kingdom? Amen. But how many of you have ever seen somebody that is in charge of a lot of doors and things? They got a key ring about that big around and just solid with keys. And I wonder how they can remember what key fits the key ring. Well, in this kingdom, there's a lot of keys, and each one fits a different lock and will loose a different thing. Amen. So what we do as human beings, we get in our own little rut, if you want to call it that. And because we praise our way out of it one time, we think that's going to work the next time. Well, the next time you might have to pray your way out of it instead of praising your way out of it. Amen. Amen. And Brother Scotty has already put out, there comes a time when you have to give your way out of it. And that's not just money talking either. That's your time, your effort, and your will that you have to give. So here we find the people that are stiff-necked, and all of a sudden, up to this point, the Ark of the Covenant had been right in the camp, and any time they wanted the presence of God, they could just reach out and touch it, and there it was, right there. It was right there, but now all of a sudden, the people have decided that they have become stiff-necked, and so Moses had moved the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God, outside the camp. Now, anyone that goes out to the presence of God has got to leave the camp to go out to where God is. Amen. How many of you have discovered that when you leave, you're sitting on the pew and finally make up your mind to lift your hand and praise the Lord, that God will bless you? Can you say amen? But as long as you sit there and like a knot on a log, most of the time it don't happen. So we find that this is a spiritual concept as well as a physical one, because how many of you know that I've heard people tell me, I'm going to get my sermon here, Mr. Hang on, amen? I hear people all the time. I know we were up in Marlette, Michigan at a revival, and that night the Holy Ghost had just fell in the house that night. And there's a guy came by me and he said, Brother Dave, he said, I won't be here with you tomorrow night in body, but I'll be here in spirit. I've got to go do so. So, okay, well, what can you say to that? You can't say nothing to that much. So the next night he wasn't there, and the next night he came back in. Well, when he came back in, I walked by him, and I really wasn't thinking when I said it. I said, we missed you last night, brother. And when I did, a little fire danced in his eyes, and he looked at me and said, I told you I wouldn't be here in body, but I'd be here in spirit. I said, can I tell you something, son? He said, mister? He said, what's that? I said, last night the Holy Ghost fell in this house, and I got in the spirit, and I looked all over the house for you. You wasn't here. I said, you better check up and find out where your spirit went, because it wasn't here. Hello, somebody. Can you say amen? So don't give me that trash. God made you triune, spirit, body, and soul, and you got to have them all together. Anybody leave their soul at home tonight? All right. Amen. So don't tell me, I'll be with you in spirit, Brother Scotty. I'm tired of that. I looked all over the house. You wasn't here. You better find out where you went. Amen. Amen. If you're going to be here with me, bring me some body to look at. Amen. Say praise the Lord, somebody. Amen. I mean, we're just laying the truth on the line. Amen. Because anybody can talk a mean fight. Amen. I found that out a long time ago. Amen. And so now, all of a sudden, I want us to look at this. But what causes a person to become stiff-necked? Amen. First of all, let's look at what the word stiff-necked means. Amen. It means hard, grievous, stubborn. I know in our day family, I was born and raised down around Ragland, Alabama, and my uncles, and I've been told by Gloria that I am too, and about as stubborn as a human being could ever be on the face of this earth. But I've got an uncle, bless his heart, and he is notorious for arguing, amen? And that man would absolutely argue with a stop sign on the side of the road on whether it ought to be there or ought to not be there. That's the way he is. What causes a person to get that way towards God? Amen. Have you ever seen folks, if they know what they ought to do, they know they should do it, and they'll do it for a little while, gone with the wind. Amen. What causes them? They get stiff-necked. They're hard. They're grievous on God. They're not willing to do what God wants them to do in order to keep the blessings of God on their lives. Amen. And because of it, they're constantly wanting somebody else to pray for them and understand why I'm like this. I know why you're like that. You're stiff-necked, you're hard, and you won't follow the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. When it comes time that God wants you to make a little sacrifice, you got too much television to watch, too many beds to lay in, or too many friends that want to run around and go fishing on Sunday. Amen. But brother, when you realize what causes a person, when that heart gets hard, it's going to separate you from God, and only one thing will turn it back around, and that's repent in the name of Jesus and cry out for the blood of Jesus to change you again in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, what do you mean, brother? What causes a hard spirit? How can you get to your hard spirit? Now, we know what a hardened mind is, don't we?
Yes.
Amen. That's somebody who will knock your block off every time you say something to them. They just can't get it through their head that you're saved too.
Amen.
Can you say amen? And so as a result of it, what causes your spirit to get hard? Well, without submission in our lives, there's not going to be any presence of God. Hello? I watched tonight as them two sitting back there, them pastors come riding up in the same car. Lord, it's no wonder they got to have a truck with all them grandkids they haul around. Can you say amen? That was Teresa's truck, if I remember correct, but it started out. That's everybody's truck. Amen. But the point I'm making is this. What would your life be if you two of you were not in submission to each other? Amen? Then you say, well, Brother Day, I'm the man of my house. Amen. That's what you think too. Hello? And I usually have to explain this, so let me explain it right here, okay? First of all, when God puts two people together, they love each other.
Amen.
If they don't love each other, God did not put them together.
That's right.
If one of them, both of them don't love each other, God had to put them together. And when you do, like Gloria and I have strengths and I have weaknesses in my life. She has strengths and she has weaknesses in her life, okay? Now, when God puts you together, your strengths will cover her weaknesses. Her strength will cover your weakness, and the two of you can function in power in the name of Jesus. Can you say amen? No weakness there, you give up. We call it being on the same page with each other, okay? I remember one time we came in, we were somewhere up in Illinois, and we came in, and Gloria told me our kids were homeschooled, and this was back when when homeschooling first came out. And so we came in, and Gloria looked over at me, and she said, "I'll fry us a hamburger if you'll go back there and teach your kids English." I said, "I can handle that." So I walked back there, and I stayed about 10 minutes back there, and I come walking there, and she's standing at the stove turning her hamburger. I said, "Can I tell you something?" She said, "What?" I said, "If you want them kids alive, you better go back there and teach them that English." I said, "Because I am ready to kill them and start over and see if we can't make some of us better."
Bless you, Lord.
Teaching English was not my strength. Can you say amen?
Amen.
She laughed at me. She said, "Well," said, "can you flip this hamburger?" I said, "I can handle that hamburger." Amen. And had it not been for that strength in our life, the law would have been hunting us because them kids wanted to get an education, and I wouldn't have been able to stay on the field. Do you understand?
Amen.
Amen. So I know men that are excellent at making money, but they can't manage money worth a dime, worth a nickel. And every time you see them, they're broke. Amen. Or on poverty road somewhere. And that woman is extremely good at it, but because he's got to be the man of the house, bless God, he won't let her. And they're constantly in poverty and having to borrow this and pay for that and do that. Hello, somebody.
Yeah. Come on.
I don't care how much God gives you. If you don't control it and be a steward over it, it'll be gone within 2 weeks.
Right.
Amen. I mean, we got enough millionaires that's won the lottery to prove that. 6 months later, they filed bankruptcy. Amen. So God's made you a steward over your spiritual life, your physical life, and your family in the case of marriage, and he made you that in your life. So make up your mind to submit to the will of God. If you don't know what's required of you, get with Brother Scotty. I'm sure he has got a tape somewhere of a sermon he preached that'll straighten you out if you'll listen to it in the name of Jesus.
Come on. Amen.
You say amen? You don't listen to nobody else, so try listening to God. Oh, come on, somebody. This is slow go tonight, but you just stay with me. Amen. What causes a person to be stiff-necked? First of all, a callous spirit. Now, if I walk over here and I take my hand and I rub it on this stone right here long enough, there's going to get to be a big old callus on my hand. Now, turn your hand up and look right at the base of your finger. You see that little brown thing right there? Okay. Take and touch it with your fingernail. Hard, ain't it? You can't hardly feel. All you know is it's hard. Now put your finger right in the palm of your hand and touch it. And see how sensitive it is. Okay? Now, how did you get that callus on your hand? Son, I work for a living. Fine, amen. But I'll tell you how you got it. You got it doing the same thing the same way over and over and over and over. If I stand here, right here long enough, rubbing my pad, a callus will get so big that I can't even bend my finger. Then I'm going to run to Brother Scotty. "Pray for me, brother. I can't even hold a steering wheel to go on a revival anymore. I can't even open my Bible pages anymore." Well, Brother Day, here, God will heal you in the name of Jesus. Be gone. Poof, it's gone.
Amen.
You say amen?
Yes.
And then I walk over here. And I start again, doing the same thing over and over and over. And before you know it, I'm back in here with another one. Go, Brother Scotty, prayed for me last time. I hadn't been over in a year, but I'm going over there. Then he'll pray for me, glory to God. And he'll pray, and guess what? Nothing happens.
Right.
Hello. He said, "Brother's lack of faith." Lack of faith, nothing. Hello. Daddy used to take a hickory shrink to my britches and try his best to convince me it was for my own good. And I was fully persuaded he had tried to kill me. Did you say amen?
Amen.
And sometimes that's the way God is, amen. He knows what's best for you, and if you believe that, then you will learn something. First of all, in order to keep it going, And keep my that sensitivity there, because now I can't even feel nothing in that hand because of that big old callus. When you miss church, it calluses your spirit. When you don't pray, it calluses your spirit. When you don't praise the Lord, it begins to callous your spirit. And if you do it long enough, your spirit will become so hard that when you go to church, you won't feel anything. When you go to pray, there won't be nothing there. And the next thing you know, you're hunting somebody that'll prophesy to you and tell you what your problem is and what to do about it. But all the time, the problem is you. You're just a stiff neck. You won't pray as like you should or read your Bible or go to church.
Come on, brother.
Hello, somebody. You say, well, Brother Day, and aren't y'all glad there ain't nobody like this here tonight?
Yep. Amen.
Makes you wonder why I'm preaching this, don't it?
Come on.
Can you say amen? Not too many times I asked to go somewhere and preach, but this one, God did lay it on my heart. Bitch, on a Wednesday night, because I have to spend a lot of time with Gloria. That's understandable. Amen. Now, as a result of this, as long as you do the way you're doing spiritually, it is going to affect your spirit. You cannot do evil and have the presence of God. Amen. You cannot be unsubmissive to God and have the presence of God. Oh, you'll feel a little doodad every once in a while. Amen. Let me tell you something. You go a month without praising and without praying and seeking God. You walk in this house and he starts on the piano or whatever, and the glory of God comes down, your hands fall. I feel the Lord, everything's all right. Everything is not all right. You never prayed for that. You entered into the anointing that this church has prayed down, and you're being blessed, and now you need to learn to get your own anointing and your own praise going. Boy, y'all quiet on me tonight. We'll shout here after a while. Hang on.
Hallelujah.
You don't get this poor part down, you don't get to worry, don't have to worry about streets of gold. Say amen.
Amen.
So what am I saying through all this? Okay? I'm saying that right now you're seeing a lot of the church world that is home.
Yes.
Won't come to church, and you got friends, you got neighbors, you got family in them. Amen. And well, I'm all right with God. No, they're not. Every time they miss church, they just get a little more callous. A little bit more callous, a little bit more callous. And then when God starts speaking to them, guess what? He's got to knock them in the head to get their attention. God has talked to you. You've got an unction in your heart. You know what's God and what's not if you've been born again. You go to do something, I guarantee you, he'll let you know. Okay, but if you don't listen, if your spirit's callous, then you don't hear what God's saying, whether it's right or wrong. So you read this Bible, it'll tell you what's right or wrong. But if you don't read that, it ain't going to tell you nothing. So then Scotty's got to get up, Brother Scotty got to get up and preach to you. But if you don't ever come, you don't hear that. Says amen.
Amen.
So then the prophet's going to call you out and tell you, read your mail to you. But if you don't get around them, you don't have to worry about that either. Your mind's blinded. Your heart's hardened. Your spirit's calloused. And God's 15,000 miles that way, and you don't know the difference. Go look at Samson. Brother, the last time he got up out of that gal's lap, he looked around and said, I will walk out of here as I did before, but he knew not that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. Why didn't he know? You know. I know. Preacher don't have to tell me what condition I'm in when I walk in the house. I know what condition I'm in. Hopefully I repent before I get in the door, then you don't have to preach on it. Lady up in Chicago asked me, last time I was up there, he said, after church, the other man said, was you preaching that message to me? I said, was you in the house? She said, yeah. I said, then yes. I'm not preaching all them out in the yard. I'm preaching to who's in the house.
Bless the Lord.
Duh.
Amen.
Amazing how many dumb people you know when you get down to it. There they sit in the house and I'm preaching. But are you preaching to me? Of course I am.
Bless the Lord.
Can you say amen, somebody?
Amen.
So the callousness of your spirit is from a lack of submission unto God. To him that knoweth to do right and do it not, it is a what?
Sin.
All right. And what is the only answer for sin?
Repent.
Repent. Repent and do the first works over, come back through the blood of Jesus with a what? Broken heart and a contrite spirit. It's not a matter of just walking up here and saying, Lord, forgive me. But there's got to be something on the inside in your spirit that wants a release from it. Amen. And any of you fellas in here, when you were going with them other girls, you tell them you love them. Yeah, that's what I thought. But I didn't mean it. Can you say it? Hey, man, the house is the way. You girls are just as bad. So you manage to hook him, so you're doing all right there. Amen. Now, the second thing that will cause you unresponsive to the Spirit of God is an old Holy Ghost to lead and guide you into truth and righteousness. Hello? If I went through this house right now and laid out a report card and asked you, are you all right with God? I'll bet you 90% would say yeah. Amen? If you died right now, would you go to heaven? Yes, sir. Well, what about all them tithes you hadn't paid? What about all that praying you hadn't done? What about all that gossiping you've been doing? What about all them movies, R-rated, that you've been watching? Come on, somebody. Are you sure you're ready to go? I don't think so. Scotty, you're going to have to come back up here and revive them for me before I can hit them again.
Come on, brother.
Well, say praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay. When the Holy Ghost is not there, have you ever went to do something and you did not know whether it was right or wrong? Oh, let me tell you. I live by Brother Scotty, we'll say, tonight, okay? Now, him for a while there, him and his missus had a bunch of chickens running around, okay? And so they were running around, and they may still have them. I don't know. I think she got tired of them and got rid of them. That's all right, too. And so I got a bulldog. I've had that old bulldog for 15 years, and I love that old dog just like one of my young ones. Hello?
Right.
And all of a sudden, he kills one of his chickens. He comes over, and he looks me in the eye and said, Brother Dave, would you put your dog up? Says he's killing my chickens and said, we can't get any eggs. We don't have no eggs for the kids to eat. We don't have no chicken dumplings because the dog's eating the chickens. Would you put him up? So bless your heart. That old dog's run out in this community 15 years and ain't never bothered nothing. I ain't put him up. Why, it'd break his heart. Preacher, you won't preach this for a while. Okay?
Come on.
So I sat there, and about 2 days later, I hear a shotgun. Boom! Yeah. And I hear my old dog go, oh, 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 he's had my dog. And I go, I love this old dog. And well, don't you think that's awful, him shooting my dog? He didn't have to shoot my dog. What kind of preacher would shoot another man's dog? Hello? I'm going over there, and I'm going to plant 5 right under his nose. I'll learn him one thing. He don't move in this community and rule it. Hello?
Right.
My dog will get out and stay out when he wants to. And you go over there all hot on the collar in the wrong spirit. Your spirit's a callous, and you draw back to hit him. And when you draw back, the Holy Ghost says, that's not Jesus.
That's right.
Hello? But Lord, it would feel so good to hit him. He shot my dog. Hello, somebody. Just let me hit him one time. That ain't Jesus. Now, I'm faced with a choice right there. If I go ahead and hit him, my spiritual growth stops right there spiritually. Dead on the spot. But because you have ignored the leadership of the Holy Ghost in your life to give you the will of God for your life.
Yes.
Hello? And from then on, all I'm going to do is talk, 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 talk. Okay? If I don't hit him, now, if I hit him, Sunday when we come to church, Teresa gets up to preach and he's on one side and I'm on the other. Look at him. She's trying to preach and can't figure out why the spirit is bound up. Hello? Say amen, somebody. And all because of my bulldog.
Amen.
And say amen.
Amen.
But if I don't hit him and I look him in the eyes, I'm like, here, brother, I love that old dog. I took him to the vet. He's going to live. And I know you got to have your chickens. You and I need to get down here and pray this thing through and get things right rather than this causing a problem between us and separate me from God.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
And we get out and pray through and we come in and glory to God, the Holy Ghost just falls on you, okay? Yes. Now, I had to do something I didn't want to do. I wanted to hit him. It would have felt good. Say amen. You mean y'all never seen somebody that you just like to plant fight on or something? Hello? Y'all were getting me funny back there. Y'all must not know the same people I know. They all the same thing. I would never do that. You just never had your cage rattled right.
That's right.
How many of you know that every church, every neighborhood has a little 12-year-old red-headed boy that specializes in making your life miserable? I got three of them now. The girl, the boy, grandchildren. You come to church, Brother Scotty gets up, preaches on temper. Glory to God, just what I needed. We come to that altar and pray, and he lays hands on his will, jump about that high, cut out around the room. Woo, glory! I'm free, thank God I'm free. Brother Scotty, God will get up and testify. God delivered me and set me free in the name of Jesus. Everybody in church, heart, glory to God, maybe he's easier to get along with now. His wife over there shouting, glory to God, hallelujah, I've been praying that for 20 years. You go pull it up in the yard all the way home while you're talking about how good God was to you this morning. You pull up in the yard and there's that little fellow standing right in the middle of your flower bed, right in front of the house, and he's doing this number. If I told him one time, I told him that other, get out of that flower, boy. Hello? You ever been delivered in your temper? How many times? Can you say amen?
Amen, brother.
That night, you back in the sermon, prayed for me, Brother Scotty. What's the matter? My temper. Hello? They praise the Lord. And it all comes from hardness of your spirit and not yielding to the Holy Ghost. But if you listen to the Holy Spirit and keep Him sensitive in your life, He will lead you and guide you into all truth and all righteousness. Now, that's not without the church involved, so don't get the idea I'm telling you to stay home.
Yeah.
Amen. I'll tell you flat-footed that the blood only flows through the body if you don't maybe cut your hand off.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
And you'll find out right here, you can't make blood flow through it. You can't. Right. All the way they get the blood flowing back through that hand is to attach it back to the body with all the blood vessels. Say amen.
Amen.
And when you start missing church, you cut yourself off from the blood flow that causes and gives you life, spiritual life.
Amen.
And the longer you stay away, I heard folks tell me, one time they told me, said, boy, I left the church. Well, I knew why. They got mad, sold up, and left the church. Well, where are you going to church at now? We're just visiting around. Are you going faithful? Yeah. Another 3 months, I see them, and all of a sudden you notice that they're turning black.
Come on.
And then the next thing you know, they're stinking, and they're thinking, and they're talking.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Why? Because decay sets in. When the blood doesn't flow through the body, decay sets in, and it will die. And you will die spiritually. Lord, I'm covering a lot of ground tonight. Maybe I'll get back on my sermon here in a minute.
Come on.
An offense between you and God will cause your spirit to be calloused, cause it to be hard.
Yes.
Have you ever noticed that when you get offended at somebody, whatever they do is never right? Me and you walk in here, and I'll tell you on the way over here now, Brother Scotty's mad at me. Watch him. He won't even shake my hand when I come in the door. I come in the door, he'll reach out and shake my hand, walk off, and I'll nudge you in the rib. The only reason he done that is because you was with me.
That's right.
If you hadn't been with me, he wouldn't have shook you. Watch him. He won't even look me in the eye. That devil knows what he done to me. At that time, he'll look up and look me right square in the eye. I look at you under. Ain't that devil got a lot of gall looking at me like that?
That's right.
In other words, whatever they do is never right. When there's an offense between you and God, the preacher can get up and preach to you and put the commas, the T's, the quotation mark, your name, serial number, and address on it, and you'll sit there. They already need preaching. That's because I'm here this morning. I don't have to come back down here and listen to that kind of stuff.
Amen.
Hey, praise the Lord, somebody.
Amen. Yes. Praise the Lord.
Like I said, I know they ain't none of these kind of folks here, so it makes you wonder why I'm preaching it tonight. Hallelujah.
Yes, come on.
But I'm telling you, we're running out of time, and he's coming. And it wouldn't surprise me a bit in the world if we woke up in the morning in heaven, those that are ready to go.
Right.
You see that? When there's a defense between you and somebody, you take it the wrong way. So God talks to you, and it's always for him. Yep, buddy, he got him told tonight. Lady walked out of the house down in Georgia, down near Atlanta, was in revival down there. Walked out, and she said, buddy, you sure got him told tonight. I said, I wasn't talking to them, I was talking to you.
Bless him, Lord.
Well, say amen, somebody.
Amen.
You can't let somebody get away with that.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
All right, let's look on. When there's a fence between you and God, it causes you to get unsubmissive to God.
Yes.
I don't have to shake his hand. He shot my dog.
Right.
Amen. Oh, let's go on. Y'all getting quieter here on me. Amen.
Yes.
What happened because of this? The tabernacle was moved out away from it. I'm hearing more and more people say, I just don't feel the Spirit in my church like I used to. I just don't feel the Spirit. Well, no wonder you ain't been in a year.
That's right.
What do you expect to happen? You hadn't prayed, you hadn't been to church in a year. And what do you think's happened? Brother, when you get unresponsive to God, he'll move away from you.
Yes, he will.
And you got to go out to where he's at.
Yes, sir.
When we go into a church, Richard preaching a revival, especially if I hadn't been there for a long or a while, or in one I've never been to, before the first service, I'll always go out a couple of hours before church, and I'll leave all the lights on, and I'll sit out in the back corner over there, out back in there somewhere, and I'm looking for one thing. I'll just empty my spirit out, my mind out, and just get quiet before God. And I'm looking for one thing and one thing only. And all of a sudden, I'm looking for his presence, but just begin to go down through me. My fear just begin to vibrate. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? And I'll say, And it'll lift. And I'll sit there a minute or two, and it'll come back again. And I sit there a minute or two, and it'll come back again without moving. But I found out that after the third time, it won't come back. And I found out that the reason why is because I don't respond to it. The first time he comes, I can't help it. My smile will come on my face, and my hand will go up, and I said, ah, there you are. Hallelujah. You're the one I'm looking for here. Amen. I don't care whether we believe the same thing or not. If daddy's there, we family.
Amen.
Can you say amen, somebody? We may not agree on where you sit in church and how you act, but if daddy's there, it's his house. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, as a result of this, you find that to worship, you've got to go where the tabernacle is. Amen. To have the presence of God, you've got to go outside the tag. You've got to leave the land of Stiffneck. Do you wonder why Travis sings to you? Do you wonder why we encourage you? You've been out there all day, and the boss been on your collar about first one thing and another one. You start home, and bless your heart, it's church night. You want to go to church so bad. And a 15,000 slow drivers that gets in front of you. And two or three of them try to run over you while you're going to church. And how many of you know we're people that talks with our hands? Hello, somebody. I hope none of us do that anyway. It gets you killed nowadays.
Yes.
Now, as a result of it, by the time you get in here, man, spiritually, if you don't take time to pray and work it out, you're in sad shape when you get in here. So Travis will crank up on a good song here, get it going, praising the Lord. And the next thing you know, we're drawn out of the stiff-necked tabernacle And we go into his presence, begin Amen. To praise him, and things begin to melt inside of you, and the Spirit of God begins to touch you, and all you want to do is just repent and lay in his presence and magnify him. Can yes. you say amen? Amen? Either that or his word will come and straighten you out and tell you right where you're wrong at. Amen? Amen. Leave the land of stiff neck, but let me tell you what. I found out it's not only a decision, but it's an action. Amen? Look in verse 5 here. Okay? It says, put off your ornaments. Okay? By your relationship to your ornaments, God knows how to deal with you. It is absolutely amazing to me how many ornaments we have in our lives. What do you mean ornaments? How about that four-wheeler? That you love to wear it right on Sunday instead of going to church. Hello? Sound like a home? How about you ladies in your yard sales? Say amen, somebody? It's almost like a religion with you. She raising your hand, sis. You better, because he's putting the elbow to your ribs there. Amen? By your relationship. He said, love not the things. Do you realize that on Super Bowl Sunday, half the churches, three quarters of them in America, don't even bother to have church? I know one church out in Texas. They separate their congregation. The deacon's wives get up and put on cheerleading outfit, and their cheerleader and the preacher preaches during the intermission. Now I can just imagine what kind of move of God they had. The last time they got into a fight and had to call a law out there to separate them all on who won and who lost. Can you say amen?
Amen.
He said, love not the world, the things of the world. How many times has God dealt with you about praying that you wouldn't watch television? That you went somewhere else, done something else? Your ornaments, that thing you love, amen? Do you realize that we men, especially you, I used to do it all the time, that we'll take, and the night before, a week before hunting season, we'll go out and spend $800 on a brand new 30-06 Browning rifle. We'll put a Weber 4X, 10X scope on it at about $300. And we'll deck ourselves out in shoes and camouflage, and we'll take off from work a week and go up in the mountains, and we'll hike up and down them hills for a week, come back so sore we can't even wiggle because our muscles are strained. And all we done is shoot at one tin can while we was up there. And you realize shooting at that one tin can cost you $1,500. But it was fun, wasn't it, guys? Any of y'all in here been hunters? Oh, yeah. Amen. I did it a lot of years. I know what I'm talking about. Amen. Now, your love for the world will determine how God deals with you. You can have the world. He'll give it to you. He'll give you your will. He'll give you what you want.
Yes.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
And when your heart is, your spirit is calloused and your heart is hard and your mind is blinded, then there's nothing left for you but you and your will. They praise the Lord, somebody. Now, they had to go out to the tabernacle. They had to separate from others. How many of you have learned that not everybody wants what you want in God? I came in, we've been in Detroit for 6 weeks up there in revival. I came into my home church and I said, I wanted the pastor just to preach a good sermon that I could go home and study 3 days on. And so, bless your heart, that night I sat down between a couple of ladies, and Ginger was sick, little then, and Gloria had her at home. And so I sat down between two ladies, and bless your heart, they had not seen each other since 12 o'clock that day at Walmart. And so they're talking back, did you see that 50% off over aisle 5? Oh, did you see that 70% off over aisle 1 over there? You should have looked back there in the sporting department. They had them tennis shoes was all back there, 80% off. And the service is going on. And I'm wanting to praise the Lord. And one's in this ear and one's in the other ear. I stopped and I looked at them. I said, am I bothering y'all? They said, no. I said, well, you're bothering me. I said, I want a move of God. It made them mad for some reason.
Bless the Lord.
I mean, I need the blessing, son. I've been going 6 solid weeks in revival. And I needed a touch. I wanted something I could grab a hold of and study about 3 days on. Amen. Yes. And there they are in one ear. And don't you hate to sit by people like that? I won't do it. I may one time, but I won't do it no more.
That's right. Come on.
Because you don't want what I want.
Bless them, Lord.
Now, if somebody comes in and says, here it is, in the name of Jesus, and lays hands on them, they'll take it. But as far as going out to the tabernacle and getting it, amen. Y'all quiet. We're going to shout here in a minute. Hang on. Amen. You have to separate. How many of you have learned that your old buddies, they don't understand what's happened to you?
That's right.
And all they want to do is pull you back into the old way of life.
That's right.
And just as sure as you drink that beer, just as sure as you take that drink,
that's right.
Brother, your spirit will become callous, your heart, and the glory of God will move away from you.
Yes.
Say amen somebody.
Amen.
And this is getting down where the rubber is.
Mm-hmm.
And how many of you know that sometimes you have to look, there's a song that I heard years ago. It said, today an old friend of mine knocked on the door. When I answered the door, he said, I've been worried about you. Said, you were a man that could paint the town red. You were a wild man that could do it all. We hadn't seen you around for the last couple of months, and we're worried about you. Are you sick? Is something wrong with you? And he looks at him, and he answers it and says, the man you come here looking for is dead. He had to leave my heart's door. Can you say that? The man you're looking for now, you're looking at now, is not the man I used to be.
Amen.
Can you say amen, somebody?
Come on.
And you have to separate from them sometimes. Amen?
Yes.
I'm not telling you not to witness to them, but I'm just telling you, it's like a guy years ago in the revival, and this young man, he was about 22, got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, and so he come to me at the second week of the revival. He come to me, he said, some friends of mine are going down to Florida and pick up a carload. This was in Bell City, Alabama. We're going to pick up a load of oranges and bring them back. We're going to sell them, make a little bit of money. And I said, how many is going? He said, there's six of us in a car. And I said, boy, I said, you just received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And this was speaking in other tongues. I said, you know the devil's after you, don't you? He said, yes, I do. I said, are they saved? He said, none of them. I said, well, do they lose it? He said, constantly. I said, didn't God just deliver you from alcohol? He said, yes, he did. I said, son, I'll tell you this. If you get in that car and go to Florida, before you get back, you'll be backslid. He came back, and I saw him, and I asked him. He said, we were going down the road, and said the air conditioning went out in the car. And said it was six of us in the car, and it hot as all get out. And he said, one of the boys reached down in the cooler and pulled out a Coors and said it just had ice dripping off of it. And said, I told him, I don't drink it. Said they took it and run it over my cheek and run it over. And then they popped the can and held it under my nose and up to my mouth. And said, I got drunk the other day. And said, I lost it all. Hello. Sometimes your buddies don't do you no good. Learn to associate with folks that want what you want in God. And say amen. All right, let's hurry up here, okay? As you look on into verse 27, they had to go to the tabernacle, of course. But look in verse 10. It said, when Moses went into the tabernacle, the glory of God came down on the tabernacle. And verse 10 says they worshiped where they were. In other words, they didn't go out to the praises of God. They just stayed where they were. We see this happening in church. A lot of people, when the Spirit is moving, they'll come up to me before church and tell me how they need a blessing. They need it to God. And all of a sudden, Brother Scotty will say something or Travis one, and the Spirit of God will start moving. And I look around, look there, and they sit over there looking like they eat pickles half a day.
Come on.
Hello? They wouldn't dare move. They wouldn't dare lift a hand and praise the Lord. What they want is a freebie. Y'all know what a freebie is? That's one of them when you don't expect it and they come by and lay hands on you and you get it.
Amen.
You didn't do nothing for it. Amen. Now, you can take, and I see people in church doing this. They just love somebody else getting blessed. I get such a blessing out of Sister Teresa getting blessed. Well, I enjoy that too. I enjoy seeing you blessed. But I got news for you. If it comes down to you being blessed, me being blessed, I'd rather be blessed than you.
Come on, my brother.
It's my back and your back, son. I want mine healed. You can take care of your own. Can you say amen, somebody?
Amen.
But you can't do that sitting where you are. We need to learn to move when the Spirit says move. And when he's directing us, verse 7, once again, they had to go out to the tabernacle. Look in verse 8. They saw the glory cloud. They knew the glory was there. It was there. All they had to do was go out to where it was at.
Yeah.
Girl came to me up down in Florida. And she at the altar service, she said, Brother Dave said, would you pray for God to heal my leg? And I said, sure. And I reached out to lay hands on her. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, don't you touch her. I jerked my hand back and he said, ask her about her relationship with me. And I laid up, put the microphone behind my back, and I leaned over and I asked her, I said, how's your relationship with God? She said, I don't have one. I said, don't you want to have? I said, we'll kneel down right here and pray right now and ask Jesus to come into your heart. She said, no, I don't want one. I said, now let me get this straight. I said, you don't want a relationship with God. You don't want to be saved, but you want God to heal your leg. She said, yes, I do. She said, I'm a stripper down here in the club. And said, I was twisted around that pole and hurt my leg and I can't work now. And I want God to heal it where I can go back to work. She said, will you pray for me? I said, I will pray for it to fall off.
Bless you, Lord.
I'm not in the business of putting you back out in the world where you can rip it up. I'm in the business of getting you into the heaven. And I found out a long time ago, the more miserable you get in the world, the more closer you're going to draw to God. And when you get sick enough of it, you'll turn and realize you need a Savior to deliver you.
Amen. Bless you, Lord.
Say amen.
Amen.
All right, here we go. Look at verse 11. Some go, but they return to the place they came from. I see them and you see them. They'll move out right there. When somebody's getting blessed up here, you ask them to come and everybody's just sort of standing up here in the altar and they won't even move. But the minute somebody gets a hold of them, here they come, first thing. And then the minute they get touched, they go right back and sit down right where they were. Y'all don't know anybody like that, do you? Amen? They don't pray anymore. They only pray. A lady come to me one night in service. I said, how long have you been seeking about this in the Holy Ghost? She said, 11 years, off and on for 11 years. Well, I'm trying to adjust my thinking because I'm in the middle of my altar service. And I'm trying to adjust my thinking. How do you seek off and on? To me, either you do or you don't. Can you say amen? And then I realized what she was saying, Brother Scotty. When she was in church and somebody ready to pray for it, she was ready for it. But when she got home, in other words, she'd have it if God give it to her. But she wasn't going to seek him and go out to where he was to get it. And you see people in church like that. Amen? Some go and return right back to the place they started at in the same condition. And you got to pray for them next Sunday, and the next Sunday, and the next time, the next time. All right, finally here, look in verse 21, I think it is. 11, verse 11, I'm sorry. Said that Joshua, the son of Nun, went out to the tabernacle and did not come back and departed not, but stayed in the presence of God. Now, what does that mean to you and I? It simply means this. Moses walked up on the mountain. They've got to have a new pastor over Israel. A lot of people, they are ready. Who did God choose? Why? Because he went out to the tabernacle and stayed in the presence of God. God will not allow. It used to bother me, Jacob and Esau, how that God allowed Jacob to snatch away the birthright that was rightfully Esau's. And then one day I began to realize that Esau, God spoke to me, Esau was a cunning hunter. Jacob was a shepherd. A hunter is one that the more game, the more fish he has in the bag, the happier he is. Amen. I killed 15 quail today. Boy, I got that 8-point buck. Hello? And God will not allow a hunter to rule over his people. Hello? Brother Scotty made a statement a while ago. He said, I don't preach for money. Amen. We don't. You say amen? We don't preach for glory or fame. Oh, then you must be a shepherd.
That's right.
What is a shepherd? A shepherd lays down his life for the sheep.
Amen.
And y'all got a good pair. Amen. You need to pray for them at least 30 minutes every day. I'm serious. Because they not only handle their problems, they handle yours too.
That's right.
They got twice a load you got on you.
Thank you, Jesus.
So what have I said through this tonight? A kingdom promotion comes not because somebody thinks you ought to be that, but because God promotes you.
Yes.
And God only promotes those that is faithful to Him. Can you say amen? And that's what He does in the name of Jesus. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, stiff neck, you're going to go through it over and over and over and over again until you get it right. When I was in high school, we had an old boy named Leonard Hickelbottom. Leonard was 21 years old and in the 12th grade. It got where the principal of the church was running for some, I mean the school was running for an office, and he come out and asked Leonard to vote for him. But Leonard had went through one, it took him so long to get through the classes that the daddy and them wouldn't let him quit. And had it to do, so he finally made it. Amen. Finally got there. But the thing about it was, he learned, he knew how he could do it, he just didn't know it.
Yeah.
Sometimes, spiritually, you know exactly what you need to do, and you just don't do it.
Yeah. Amen.
Say amen?
Amen.
And then guess what? You get to take the course over again. Or it may not be here, but it'll be somebody else, somewhere else, that'll put you through the same thing. Somebody told me one time, said, Brother Dave said, you can't even be a good evangelist without being a pastor. I said, I don't know. I said, Paul wasn't married, but he had the best advice on marriage I've ever seen. Say amen. He said, well, you got to go through these things. I said, I do. I said, where you just face the same old person over and over as a pastor, I get to leave after the revival and say, whoa, thank God I'm delivered. Go right down to next to church and meet his sister. Just like her. I said, because we all have to come to the same image. And that's the image and the likeness of Jesus Christ. And whatever it takes to get you there, as long as you're willing to go, He'll carry you there.
Amen.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Amen.